Speaking on this program is Joe Ware.
You would not dare for one moment to take a trip across a barren desert, let's say the Sahara, in a camel or other pack animal caravan, without having thought clearly and made exceptionally good plans. One would not dare to climb the highest mountain on this earth without checking to see every item that he or she might need is there available, ready and packed. One of the great reasons God has called His children to come together on the first day of the week is so that we can be reminded that we are on a great journey and that this part on this earth is what I shall refer to as the planning stage or the preparation time. Every human being who has ever been born, who is alive today, who shall ever come to this earth, shall take this great journey. And whether the journey ends in happiness and gladness eternally, or whether it ends in sadness forever and ever, full of sorrow and pain, depends upon how we prepare for the journey. And as I said, one of the great reasons I believe, according to the Scripture, that we come together on the first day of the week is to be reminded of how we're to prepare for the journey and how we're to live and how we're to take that journey. We're in the preparation stage. We come to our senses and we start packing the right things. We start planning the right way. And we start living in view of eternity. A checklist for Christian living is if there's a fixing that which is fixable and turning to God through faith, through repentance, change, and to stand up and make that great confession I'll never forget as long as I live. The words of the Ethiopian eunuch when he said, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" The response was, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he was not afraid to make the great declaration, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Are you here today, never having turned from sin, never having made that great confession, and never having put Christ on in baptism to be saved, to be added to the church, the body of Christ? You're packing the wrong stuff if you haven't done that. I remember many, many years ago when the world was a little different. At least I think it was a little different. When my little family and I, as we lived near Atlanta, Georgia, planned and planned to go to Disney World. Probably wouldn't go today because of the anti-godly ideas and practices at that place. But that's my opinion. But I'll never forget the excitement in our children. And I'll never forget the wonders of planning for that trip. We all have a great trip ahead of us, and we're preparing today. Romans, the 12th chapter. Inspiration reads this way, "I beseech you, that is, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, that is, complete will of God." I appreciate so much that our heart, in the biblical sense, are our minds. Teach our minds the Word of God. Prepare our minds to make the great journey. And the first way we start, once we're a child of God, is to give our lives in service to the kingdom. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." I understand the context of this chapter has to do with some of the supernatural or spiritual gifts given to the early Christians by the laying on hands of the apostles. But the point simply is this: we're given gifts today of talent and of time and of opportunity to prepare for the great trip. Will mine be a great trip of happiness and eternal joy, or a great trip of punishment and sorrow that never ends? As a mother or father or grandparent, as a deacon, an elder, as a teacher in this congregation here, let me never forget that our great responsibility is to prepare the minds, that is, the hearts of the little ones. And a little one indeed in the context of this lesson could be a 50-year-old who has just obeyed the gospel. Prepare our minds and hearts for the great trip, pack the right stuff. Years ago, we used to camp out a little bit in the North Georgia mountains. And even for a 2 or 3 overnight trip, you took the right stuff. And that's nothing compared to what God wants us to do in preparing for the eternal trip forever and ever. And once again, in the context of this lesson, inspiration is telling us here, God is telling us here, what to pack and how to plan for the great trip. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or not the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another, having then gifts, that is, talents, in the context of our lesson, differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. We need each of us to find those things that God has blessed us with and use them for the edification of the church and to build up our family and this family and to prepare ourselves for the great and never-ending trip to come. We skip down some in this reading because time won't give us the opportunity to do too much. Let love be without dissimulation. Let it be honest. Abhor that which is evil. That is, hate that which is evil. Cleave, that is, cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful, not lazy in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, that is, consistently, constantly, having a plan. Let's look at our checklist for the great trip. First of all, I'm going to take with me, as I prepare as a child of God, I'm going to be willing to sacrifice. There's no scripture in all the Bible better than Romans 12:1. I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. God doesn't need my gold. God doesn't need my land. It's His anyway. God doesn't need my suit or tie. God doesn't need my famous reputation. God needs my life. Because by so giving God my life through Jesus Christ, I'm laying down my talents before the church, before the eldership, before the God of heaven, before my family where I live. And I'm packing the right things for the great trip. Secondly, I want to make sure as I do my Christian checklist for the great trip, I want to be reminded that I'm not like everybody else in this world. I hope you'll turn to this verse of Scripture that we all know so well. Turn to 1 John 2:15-17. This is how we plan for eternal happiness. This is how we assure that we go to the right place and that we've taken the right things in our life. The Holy Spirit directs, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Did you notice that all the spin things and all the interviews and all the little aftermath things of this so-called Survivor series, which, by the way, I didn't watch 10 seconds of it. Did you notice how everything they've said now on all the shows, did you notice how that there's some worldly, lustful, lascivious connotation to absolutely everything they do? They played the game in the office where I work. Strange that they didn't include me. Actually, I've got a good personality. Strange they didn't include me as a child of God. Not strange either. Brother and sister and friend, though as a mere human being I stumble daily, I'm trying to pack the right things. Love not the world. I'm doubting seriously that there could be such a gathering that a person being here who's allowed the world to take over his or her life
you're here, and that's wonderful, because your presence is saying, brother and sister and friend and God in heaven, I want to do what's right. Love not the world. You're not taking one spoonful of material things to you to the grave, and there won't be one thread in heaven. Pack the right stuff. As I plan the greatest trip of eternity, I want to make sure that I'm putting humility in my life. In Luke 14:11, Jesus said, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." We could cite a dozen other scriptures, but one is enough, coming from the God of heaven through the slain Son, the Savior of the world. The head of the church, and the only head of the church, my eternal elder brother, the Bible says, my counselor and my friend, my Lord and my God, my Savior, says, Joe, you pack with you true humility, and you're preparing for the great trip. Fourthly, as we look at those things on our check sheet, we understand that each of us is a great but small part of an important body. Isn't it wonderful when you see a family that gets along and works together? Isn't it terrific but rare when you see a company that literally works together with, if you'll pardon the expression, minimal backstabbing? This chapter and chapter 12 also of the First Corinthian letter are almost identical in the great principles of cooperation within the body. Though both contexts have to do with spiritual gifts, the principles apply to each of us today individually and congregationally. Let me remember, as I plan the great trip of eternity, that though my place may be small in the church, though my role may not cause thousands or hundreds or dozens to see or know, God knows, and what I do is important to the church. And what you do is important to the body of Christ. Just as it's impossible for me to have a nasty hangnail on this little finger and my whole body not feel it. Are you checking your list? A faithful member of the body of Christ hates sin. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Romans 12:9. Amos 5:15. Hate the evil and love the good. And establish judgment in the gate. As I plan the trip of eternity, I come to understand that the converted member of the body of Christ values the beauty of brotherly love. Romans 12:10 that we just read, at least that we read portions of it, makes inspired mention of being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. I can confess to you this morning, I can remember a time in my life when I was out of step with the church and I wanted to be with people of the world. Thank God I've had the opportunity and been given the time and been given the circumstances to come to understand that my place is with Christians. Do you love being with Christians? In your spare time, do you enjoy being with members of the church? Do you appreciate the goodness of a Christian group where you don't have to worry about what's going to be said, what kind of smut's going to be talked about, what kind of cursing you have to hear? You're checking your list. And I understand preferring one another has a pronged approach. Preferring means giving place to the other, caring for the other. No big me and little you in the equation. And also, of course, wanting to be with those people who are good and wholesome and God-fearing. And brother and sister and friend and neighbor and visitor, by you being here this morning, you are saying, I want to be with the people of God. I want to plan my trip to eternity to be with my Lord and my Savior. As I look at the checklist for living and the checklist for the great travel forever, Romans the 12th chapter teaches me that I must be industrious and energetic in the kingdom, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, caring about things which count. This beautiful chapter of the Bible also teaches that we're to be constant in serving the Lord and rejoicing in the hope that we have through our obedience to the gospel. Philippians 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Two more quick points as we plan our wonderful eternal trip. Is a child of God knowing that he or she plans to spend eternity with God and with faithful saints of all ages, will always make sure that he or she is steadfast in tribulation, patient in tribulation, Romans 12 and 12. Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. Jesus said, "But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet there is no root in himself, but dear for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." You can count on the fact that there will be reason for you to be pressed in the faith. And God wants you to take with you for eternity an attitude of stick-to-itiveness. And God wants me to do the same. And as we look at our checklist and as we close this lesson out, God wants us always to care about the needs of others. We're going on a great journey. God has given us a small, a brief, a critically and vitally important planning period, and that's now. May God help us to appreciate the beauty of His Word and the absolute joy of His promises.